Well, so the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, as opposed to the really corporate model that we have right now. So the three core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Demanding this. Demands.
We'll
talk about demands in a minute.
So I'm not sure if you're talking on like a national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on both.
Someone has to pick up the tab. Who would that be?
Oh, it would be white men.
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth and really sort
the
of causing a catastrophe that students
that
are facing.
Creating
I mean,
everything
a right now
you
where
like.
1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
That 1% created the iPhone that you can't live without. That 1% is where your electricity and your food and your water and your internet and your Instagram and your Snapchat, that's where all that stuff comes from. Your abortions, all this stuff comes from the 1%. You know, I'm not here to kiss the ass of the rich people. There are some rich people who are scum. But the 1% became the 1% for the most part by pulling their weight. Okay, Bill Gates is the 1% because he did something useful. Tell you about a dream that I have every night. It's a dream in which college students are herded into concentration camps.
So where do they go? Let's say if you tax them, they're smart folks, these people, these 1% hoarders.
That's
right?
Why they're 1%ers.
So if they leave here, then who's going to pay for all this stuff that you want?
Who's going to pay?
If they leave
the country.
I love this part. This is the greatest.
I mean, there's always going to be a 1% in the U.S.
There will always be a 1% that can pay for everything. Always. Well, here's an idea. Why doesn't the 1% in Africa, why don't they pay for things over on the African continent and give all of those black people free college and $15 an hour minimum wage? If there's always
a
1%.
Do you think the 1% can pay for all of this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely! PhD in psychobabble. I wonder if that exists. Oh wait, yeah, I'm sure it does.
You think your friends, their parents, your parents, your
she
family
doesn't have any friends
would be happy to pay a little bit more to provide these guarantees and benefits?
I come from an incredibly working class family.
This is the second best.
And my family is already on numerous forms of government assistance. And
my family's already on welfare.
By, you know,
we
to
need
get
more.
Through college. I live in a world and I see a system around me where there's a population that's doing nothing to contribute to the progression of society.
And when your looks are gone and you're alone. Wall hitters. How many nights you sit beside the phone? Looking at Instagram. For the things you wanted for yourself. Teenage ambitions you'll remember.
We're very rational, loving, accepting, non-xenophobic, and we're the Assyrians. Come on over.
Come on
actually,
over.
I'm in Pennsylvania, so woohoo, we're still accepting refugees. Now this is one of them occasions where the homie's not doing it right. I mean, he found him a holiday lot. But you can't make a hoe a housewife. And when it all boils down, you're gonna find in the end a bitch is a bitch, but a dog is a man's best friend. So what you found, you a hoe that you lie. But you can't make a hoe a housewife. Can't do it.
Smoke weed every day.
What I like is she said, we are still accepting refugees. We, like, are there any Syrian refugees in your house? What do you mean? We are still accepting refugees. Obviously.
Just a Nazi. We'll be screeching loudly, preaching, understanding while we punch some Nazis.
Virtue signaling.
Then we were just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm so freaking shameless, nameless in the crowd where I'll be acting like a Nazi.
So I sprint to the co-op. I get two blue books.
The most exercise she's ever had in her life.
And I run back to the classroom. I'm sitting down in the front row. I text my friend who's in the class. This girl's like, I'm in the third row. And I turn around and she's not in the third row. I'm like, I don't know why you can't count, but you're not there. Like, I'm in the first row. You're in the third row. That's not happening. And then I look around
future
some more and I'm like,
human
I've never
resources
seen these people before.
Employee.
And I'm like, okay, I haven't been to class in like a month. But still, like, I don't
right.
recognize
why go to
them.
Class?
So I asked this girl, I'm like, this is RTF, right? This is like world cinema history.
You aren't free college,
she's like, no,
but
this
you're
is
not
physics.
Even willing to go to class.
Okay, then where's my exam?
Why should you
friend,
get free college
like, you
if you're not even willing to
We're
go
in Hog.
To class?
So I'm like, oh my God. And I run straight into a window.
Yes.
Look at all these people. So I scream an expletive and move 2 feet to the left to an open door.
Because fish bicycle. And those are the sirens of the CSU police coming to arrest men for being outside in a public place during daylight hours and having penises. But that's not what we're talking about that today. That was not even a sentence. That's not what we're talking about today. We are going to talk about that, however, in the near future on the next episode of the Yes, All Women Are Like That podcast. But today we are here to do the College Kid Cast. Speaking of demanding, let's start with demanding. By golly. Yale students demand investigation of what is this guy's name? The Supreme Court guy. Brett. We're calling him Brett because I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Now, some of you might say, well, great one. What if I wanted to send you an email and tell you how much I love you or how much I hate you? Well, you could do that. You could send that email to God. That's fur baby spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And also, if you want to know, great one, where do we find the podcast? Where do we find the great one on the interwebs so that we can partake of the wisdom and the sarcasm and the hate? Well, you can find the great one over at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. I am on the gab.ai, which I very seldom use because I just don't. I hate social media. I'm also on the Twitterverse, both of those, CYNLIBSOC. Trying to keep things consistent, so I am easily stalkable. And I also am easy. I'm not cheap, but I am easy, especially if you're a cute redhead. So they say to me, great one. How is it you don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name, considering that this has been on the news constantly? Oh my God. So I'm at the gym. This was a couple of weeks ago. I'm at the gym and I got my little iPod player going, MP3 player, whatever the fuck it is, right? And I'm listening to The Dick Show because I've been binging on The Dick Show, still binging on The Dick Show. Oh my God. Not everything on the show is hilarious. But God damn. And I mean, I'm considering playing this clip on my podcast. That's how fucking funny it is. And none of this has anything to do with what I'm about to talk about. I've already started tangenting from something else I was going to tangent about when I started talking about being at the gym. Just bear with me. And I'm going to tangent on something else from that. And then we're going to try to bring it back home. And then we're going to make fun of college kids. Because we're picking low-hanging fruit today, right? I mean, really, it's like, great one. Oh, you're going to make fun of college kids. Whoa, that's like right up there on the complexity level with, you know, breathing oxygen, right? I mean, fuck, they make fun of themselves. Did anyone listen to the intro to this podcast? You don't need effort to make fun of these people. You just put them up, stand them up, and push them away and let them do stuff. And it's the most fucking pathetic, hilarious, sickening thing you ever saw in your goddamn life. I ran into a window. I mean, fucking Christ. So I'm listening to The Dick Show, and I talked about this guy before, Asterius Coconuts. I made fun of him. He's a left-wing statist. He's a SJW, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I don't know the guy personally, right? I just know him from the podcast. I don't think he's that funny, and I really dislike him because he's such a fucking leftist fag. And I want to put all that out because that's relevant to what we're about to say, because again, the great one always strives to be intellectually honest. Anyway, this is such a long story. But anyhow, you know, Maddox did all this bullshit and fucked Dick over and yada, yada, yada. Well, Asterius Coconuts put out, and this is an ancient episode. This happened back at Christmas, maybe two Christmas. I don't know. I'm going to find out because I want to hear the album. Anyhow, here's the short fucking version. Say, yeah, right, great one. You're going to do a short version of something. Asterius Coconuts made a Christmas carol album called Cuckmas Carols. And it's these songs about how Maddox is a cuck. And they played a little bit of one of them. And oh my, it was hilarious. And he put this out. And this album was like number one in comedy albums on iTunes for like 3 days, beating out albums by other real internationally known comedians. It charted. This album that Asterius Coconuts threw together in like 24 hours on no sleep charted on like the Billboard hits thing. And so he gets this message from Billboard and they're like, yeah, we've never heard of you before, but you charted, so now we need to know who you are, and we need an archival copy of your album, and we need all, and I can't do it justice. It is one of the funniest fucking things I have ever heard. I am at the gym practically falling over with laughter. I mean, Asterius Coconuts, without even trying, trolled the Billboard Top 100 charts people. I mean, this is the most effortless troll ever. He didn't intend to, he's just trying to make fun of Maddox. And he's got Billboard charts calling him up. Well, yeah, we need your information because you charted and we've never heard of you before. It's fucking hilarious. You've just got to trust me. I'm not doing it justice. This is one of the funniest goddamn things I have ever heard in my life. And I don't like Asterius Coconuts. I don't think he's that funny. And he's a leftist. But God damn it, I'm giving credit where it's due. He pulled off one of the fucking funniest things I have ever heard of. Ever. This whole segment is just side-splittingly funny. Oh my, and the Cuckmas, little drummer boy. And it's about Maddox cucking. Oh my God, it's so funny. Anyway. So also when I'm at the gym, and I'm with this big guy at the gym, he like motions to me, you know, I pull out my earphone, he goes, what are you laughing at? You're not laughing at me, are you? I'm like, hell no, I'm not laughing at you. You're twice as big as I am. Are you crazy? You know, and I told him, I'm at the gym listening to Dick Show, and just laughing so hard. And everybody in the gym is looking at me, and I'm like, I don't give a shit, because it's that goddamn funny. Oh man, so anyhow, that was first level tangent, second level tangent, here's third level tangent. I'm at the gym, and I look over there at the televisions, because the gym I go to, it's set up, the free weights are the long ways across the room, the squat rack is on one side, and all the way on the other long side of the room, that's where all of the woman stuff is at, the Stairmasters and the treadmills and shit, which, once again, why in the fuck you're walking on a treadmill in Colorado, I don't know, but it's pathetic. And that's where the televisions are, is over there. So I look across the room between sets and I see the television screens from a distance. And it's always on the news, usually CNN. Yeah, and a few weeks ago, I just saw this something up there about Donald Trump, you know, in trouble. Is his presidency collapsing and all this other shit? I'm just like, my God, do you people ever come out of this zone where it's just this breathless, oh my God, Donald Trump's presidency is about to collapse any moment now. You know, like any moment, like, okay, right now, it's okay. Oh, it didn't collapse right now. Oh, crap, but wait a minute, in 3 minutes from now it's building up again. It's gonna collapse any minute. I didn't watch the news before, but my God, now that the news is nothing but Donald Trump's presidency is about to self-destruct, there's less reason than ever to look at the news. I thought to myself, great one, do you think it could ever be possible that there would be less reason to look at the news? And the great one said, no, it's impossible. And then Donald Trump was elected president and the mainstream media went batshit crazy. And the great one looked at that and the great one said, hey, great one, there actually is even less reason to look at the news. And the great one said, yeah, great one, you're right. Didn't think it could be done. Didn't think the mainstream media could go lower than they were during the Obama administration. I mean, watching the entire mainstream media swallow Hussein Obama's cum as he murdered Muslims, the religion of peace, the people we're in love with, the people like, come on over, Syrians, right? Watching Hussein Obama murder these people with missiles launched from flying robots while watching the mainstream media suck his dick and swallow his cum and then lick his asshole when they were finished. I thought the mainstream media cannot get any more fucking useless than that. I was wrong. I do not know how to pronounce Brett's last name because I haven't fucking watched the mainstream media in order to hear it pronounced because I don't give a shit. Oh my God. And then the other day, there, Stormy Daniels, you know, Donald Trump's like, God. The bizarreness of the left. Donald Trump fucks a woman and he's terrible. Pedophiles fuck 8-year-old children and, well, they're not mentally ill. They're just like the rest of us. Anyhow, how long have I been building up to this moment? It's like foreplay. This was like the foreplay. Here comes the orgasm. Yale students demand investigation of, however you pronounce his names, allegations. Yale law students held a sit-in Monday morning demanding an investigation into sexual misconduct allegations against U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett, however you pronounce his name, I don't care, including one while he was a Yale student. So this is what students attending Yale Law School, this is what they have to do at their time, is hold sit-ins. And there's a picture here of a bunch of people sitting there. If that's one of the oldest looking students I've ever seen. And it's not a really detailed picture. But the people in the forefront, they're all ugly. Of course, we knew that. It looks like they're all wearing black. I don't know if that's coordinated or if they just don't have any fashion sense. This whole thing of college students demanding things. You ever notice that the people who spend the most time demanding things are the people who contribute the least to our society? Once again, let's say you took the 1%, okay, and you killed them. That would have an effect. Let's say you took all of the civil engineers and you killed them. Okay, that would have an effect. Let's say you took all of the women of childbearing age, say 16 to 30, and you killed them. That would have an effect. Let's say you took all of the police officers and you killed them, okay? That would have an effect. Now, let's say you took all of the Yale law students and you killed them. Would anyone notice the difference? No, I'm still here. Hang on. Go away. Not you. You don't go away. You stay there. And this morning, as I looked out my window, I saw a girl. Well, I'm assuming her gender. Oh God, I called her her. I assumed the gender of this individual. Looked like a girl from a distance. Not overly attractive, but not necessarily completely unfuckable. She had her dog. She had her fur baby. And the fur baby was walking along on the grass looking for a place to do its thing and urinate, and the girl is walking behind the fur baby holding onto the leash. And I just looked at that and I thought, there it is. That's having a fur baby. Here's this chick outside walking around being towed by her dog. She's following the dog around holding the leash as the dog looks for a place to urinate. I'm telling you, man, chicks with dogs, they're just not that fucking attractive. There's nothing attractive about following your dog around so it can urinate. Now this is not so much making fun of the college students as it might be making fun of the people who run CSU. By the way, all our material today comes from the CSU Collegian, other than my observation of the chick outside my window. Okay, here we go. Residence halls at capacity. Students live in overflow housing for the first week. The Colorado State University residence halls have met capacity after the largest freshman class ever moved in for the fall semester. Okay, what do you take from it? First of all, largest freshman class ever. The freshmen are Generation Z. We are now officially into Generation Z. For those of you who thought Generation Z was the Messiahs, nope. Largest class ever. More Generation Zers are falling for college than ever before. Approximately 6,400 students moved into residence halls on August 15th and 16th, leaving around 100 students in overflow housing waiting to be placed in permanent housing, said Director of University Housing Laura Gills, a woman who can't do math. Okay, so you have 64,000 students coming in. Not 64,000, 6,400. Apparently, I can't do math either. 6,400 students coming in. If 100 of them are in overflow housing because you didn't have housing for them, this tells us that CSU has 6,300 beds for incoming students. Why did nobody involved in admissions and housing exchange information and do math? If you work at housing and you know that you have 6,300 beds, maybe you should send an email to the people at admissions and tell them, hey, while you're admitting people and selling them a place to sleep, we're going to need you to stop selling beds to sleep in when you hit 6,300. Now, I don't know. This doesn't seem overly complex to me. But then again, I'm not a woman, and I don't have a degree in the liberal arts, like I'm sure What's-Her-Face does, Laura Giles. Those students, the ones in overflow, the ones in overflow housing, are paying the lowest community-style residence price with 14 meals a week. They are paying $5,718 per semester to live in hall lounges and basement rooms. $5,718 to live in lounges and basements. Gail said that the that the great one is coughing because he didn't do vocal warm-ups because he's stupid. He still hasn't learned anything about podcasts. He's only been doing this for 13 fucking years. He still hasn't learned anything. Gail said the class of 2022 is the largest class ever admitted, with approximately 5,300 students, which is an increase from 5,031 and 4,956 previous years, blah, blah, blah. Housing and dining services had to accommodate a few hundred more students than had previously been indicated by the office of, Housing and dining services, great one, if you can fucking read, had to accommodate a few hundred more students than had previously been indicated by the Office of Admissions, with whom they work closely to prepare for the size of incoming freshman classes. Well, wait a minute. Once again, how does the Office of Admissions, how are you off by a few hundred more students? We know the answer. All of these departments are run by women with liberal arts degrees. You're the Office of Admissions. How do you not know how many students have been admitted to CSU when you are the Office of Admissions? How do you not know? Oh, that's right, vagina. Math. Math is oppression. Gail said most freshman students with less than 15 post-high school credits are required to live in the dorms unless they receive an exemption to live in Fort Collins or live independently. Right, because that's a great way for the college to make money, forcing you to pay. And remember, the $5,718, that is the lowest price that you can pay for the student housing, which you are forced to partake in. So basically, it's a scam for CSU to make money by forcing people to live on campus and then charging them $5,000 to live in a basement. You know, instead of you college kids demanding $15 an hour minimum wage and free college and all this other stuff, maybe you should just demand that the people who work in the admissions office know how to do math. Have you ever thought about that? All right, skipping some stuff. Freshman Paul Newman, business administration major, and Antonio Valdez, undeclared, live in the basement of Braden Hall. Lived in the basement. Past tense. Lived in the basement of Braden Hall for the first week of classes along with 10 other students. Quote, when you go to college, you expect to be in a small dorm, but it was just a makeshift study lounge converted into a dorm, unquote, Valdez said, for which you paid. What was it? $5,000. You paid $5,000 for that. The students lived in the Braden overflow housing, shared a single handicap access restroom with a shower, Newman and Valdez said. Quote, I was waking up at 5 or 6 a.m. Oh, you poor thing. I was waking up at 5 or 6 a.m. just to get into the shower, unquote, Newman said. The bathrooms were so often occupied that Newman had to resort to brushing his teeth in a classroom building. Quote, sometimes I would walk by and there would just be people sitting there with their shower bins waiting to get in because they couldn't go anywhere else, unquote. Paid $5,000 for this. The rooms, which were converted from study lounges in the basement, housed between 2 to 4 students each. There were no windows to the outside in the rooms because they were located in the basement near the laundry facilities. Quote, our closets were like cardboard makeshift boxes. We had 2 big dressers to share between the 4 of us, unquote, Valdez said. The doors to the room had grates on the bottom, which provided little privacy for the students. Quote, I sneezed in my room with my door closed, and someone in the room across the hall with their door closed said, bless you, unquote, Newman said. He paid $5,000 for that. Both Newman and Valdez said nobody from HDS reached out to them, so both took it upon themselves to speak to someone directly about the situation. Yes, you did, because you're men. That's why you took initiative. After reaching out, I would be interested, what's the breakdown of people put in the temporary? Like, how did they decide who got to live in basements and who got real rooms? I wonder if there are any gender disparities in this decision. I mean, I don't know. I don't have this data. I'm saying it would be interesting to find out. After reaching out to the rooming director's assistant, Newman was informed he would be relocated to a permanent dorm within the week. Quote, we went to housing and talked to the assistant director of housing, so they were aware, but that's because we went to them. Nobody ever came to us, unquote, Valdez said. No, they did not come to you. You know why they didn't come to you? Because they don't need to come to you. You know why they don't need to come to you? Because they already have your $5,700. See, the university doesn't need you. And actually, you don't need the university. You've just been brainwashed. But no, the university doesn't give a shit that you're living in a basement. The university has your money. The university knows that you have been brainwashed into thinking that getting your diploma in, what is this, business administration, right? You've been brainwashed into thinking that a diploma in business administration is going to get you somewhere in life, that this is going to get you a job. The university can shit right in your face, and you're still going to keep giving them thousands of dollars. In response to the increasing class sizes, Giles said CSU is preparing to build a new 1,400-bed residence hall. Blah, blah, blah. Hall is scheduled to be open in 2021. How much is that going to cost? Is that really worth it? Why don't you just let the kids live off campus? Why do colleges provide housing? All right, I can understand. You need some. Okay, I guess I get it. I think that depends on the college, right? Where it is. Is there local housing available? I mean, here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and I scoff at this probably because here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, there is so much student housing. They're building student housing everywhere, and it's this very specific student housing. It's called that. There's these whole giant apartment complexes that are built specifically as student housing. Now, I don't think you actually have to be a student to live there, but it's geared at the students, but I don't know, maybe you do. And the other thing about all these student housing places is you go past them, the signs that say, you know, units available, they're always up. These places are never full, nobody can afford them. That's the other baffling thing to me about this whole thing, is how expensive housing is in the People's Republic of Fort Collins while we have all these vacancies and all these student housing places. I have theories, but I don't know. It is just baffling. All right. Moving on. Veterans Symposium talks strengths of, quote, next greatest generation, unquote. The Colorado State University Veterans Symposium set out to challenge post-9/11 perceptions and structures of veterans' resources by emphasizing the values which veterans bring to higher education, the workplace, and the community. The symposium, held September the 7th at Canvas Stadium, featured speakers and breakout sessions focused on the ideas of leadership and the value in the millennial generation. Yeah, because the millennial generation has a lot of value. The value in the millennial generation of veterans, particularly in the realm of higher education. Because again, so you went in the military and you've got all this value and you got all this leadership. And okay, sure, let's pretend all that is true. But boy, you got to get higher education or it doesn't matter. What this is really about is convincing people to come to CSU and give them money in exchange for worthless diplomas. A number of speakers called this group of veterans the, quote, next greatest generation, unquote. Now, this is one of those things. Do we blame the millennials or do we blame the baby boomers? Or no, wait, is it the baby boomers or is it Gen X? See, I don't know. I'm not up on this shit. All right, let's just rephrase. Do we blame the millennials or do we blame the people older than the millennials? Here's the thing. As we know, there's no creativity left in Hollywood, right? That's why we got to remake Star Trek. We got to remake Ocean's 11. We got to remake Ghostbusters. We got to turn out these terrible Star Wars movies, right? There's nothing left. Oh, there's the new Blade Runner. Yeah, right. There's no creativity left. It's just churning out the rehashings of the old stuff. And the millennials, because they're not very smart, they flock to this shit. Once again, is it the millennials who can't come up with something, or is it the people who are trying to manipulate the millennials? So we had the greatest generation. We've got some names for the millennials. We've got the dumbest generation ever. Yeah. But we got to call them something else. Well, let's call them the next greatest generation. Let's just remake the greatest generation. There is so little creativity that the best thing that can be come up, God damn it, that can be come up with, because we're on a roll today. My speaking skills are par excellence. The best thing these losers can come up with is that the millennial veterans, well, they're the next greatest generation. We skip a bunch of stuff. We skip a bunch of stuff. My cell phone goes off. Why is this even on? I mean, just in case this is a chick. Ah, you bitch. Yep. All right, fuck you then. How dare this girl think that her sister is more important than me? You know, what the hell's wrong with you women? Is your sister gonna fuck your brains out? No, she's not. I am, if I get the chance. All right, fine. Betty Mosley Brown, Chief of Veterans Experience Office. That's a thing. She's the chief of the Veterans Experience Office, and she's the president of the Women Marines Association. Also spoke about different theories on leadership. Okay, a woman talking about leadership. Now, our friend Adam Pickett, he says he doesn't read any book that's written by a woman. I'm not going to go quite that far. I will read books written by women in some cases. Like, for example, a science fiction book written by a woman, I'll give it a shot. But there are certain realms into which women should not go, and there are realms into which women's opinions just don't matter, ever. Okay? And this goes to, I'm not going to read a book written by a woman on this topic. I'm not going to listen to a speech by a woman on this topic. If it's a YouTube video and some chick starts talking about this, I'm not going to listen unless I'm listening specifically to make fun of her. Finances is one of them. Leadership is another. A woman talking about leadership. If you're going to talk about something, you should at least have some kind of fucking concept of what's going on, okay? I talk about lifting weights. I'm not an expert, but I know where the free weights are at the gym, and I have actually picked them up. Unlike a woman who couldn't locate leadership if you shoved it up her ass. And I know you think you know this one woman who's a great leader. No, you don't. Okay, this is one of those things. There are no women with leadership skills. Those do not exist. Right. Need I remind you, women are herd animals. Need I remind you, as I've explained before, till I'm blue in the face, over and over and over, women always lie. They lie without even thinking about it. They lie naturally because women always are oriented towards fitting into society. That is where their security comes from. And because their entire focus is fitting into society, they say the things they think the people around them want to hear. And if that means lying, they just fucking do it. You women do not have integrity. It is impossible for a woman to have integrity. If you don't have integrity, you sure as fuck can't be a leader. Are you saying, great one, does this get better? Of course it gets better. Okay, blah, blah, blah. President, Women's Marine Association, also spoke about different theories on leadership, the leadership skills she learned from her time in the Marines, and the role of leadership for women veterans. Quote, in the military, we are all equal. No, you're not. You're not. In the military, we are all equal. But when we come out into the civilian world, we are still making we, the royal we. See, okay, this goes back. Notice how we talked about this. I explained this. Look, the things to look for when fucking women open their mouth and start whining. Number one, they take things happening to other people and they try to attention whore off of it, right? The bitch on Facebook saying, oh, look, Molly Tibbetts got killed. I might get killed too when I go outside. See, Molly is getting attention, but I want attention too. I'm attention whoring, okay? And then they say they're doing, I still have to go here. All right, so here, it's right in front of me. That's kind of funny. I didn't talk about this, but in her post, the last sentence is this, the last two sentences. She says, this is what all women exercising are doing day or night, no matter the neighborhood. What's the other thing I told you about women attention whoring? After they've tried to call attention to themselves, they say they're doing it for all women, right? These women accused Harvey Weinstein of raping them, not for themselves. No. They for other women. They're to do this for help all women because they're so selfless. See, and this chick says, this is what all women exercising are doing. See, it's not just me that might get killed while I'm exercising, like Molly Tibbetts got killed. It's all women. See, I'm posting this on Facebook for all women because I care so much. In the military, we are all equal, but when we come out in the civilian world, we are still making 82 cents on the dollar, and women of color are 59 cents on the dollar, Mosley Brown said. See, look, see how oppressed we all are, and see how I'm saying this for all these women. I really need you to give me your attention and see how I'm speaking for all women. All women are making 82 cents on the dollar, and women of color are only making 52 cents. Oh my God, give me attention. And we all know that, no, you're not. You're not, this is not true. It's not even remotely true. Wage gap debunked, falling asleep. It's so fucking boring at this point. She continues to embarrass herself by saying the following. Quote, it's a big shift for females who have been the pilots, the astronauts, the commanders. It's up to all of us to change that because we can't do it by ourselves. See, it's up to all of us to change this because we can't do it by ourselves. So who is we? Well, we is women. So if the women can't do it by themselves, who do they need to do it for them? Men. Hashtag he for she. See, women only make 82 cents on the dollar, but well, women can't do anything about that themselves. No, they need men to fix the problem for them. And as I have said before, no, you don't make 82 cents on a dollar, but you should. And this is why. You can't do anything for yourself. Every time you see some fucking feminist whining about how she's oppressed and she doesn't make as much money as men and all this other stuff, every time you see this and hear this, the fucking conclusion, the solution in her tiny little fucking brain that only has two compartments in it, one of which is for shopping, the other one she doesn't use, the conclusion she arrives at in her tiny little brain is that men need to fix the problem for her. And that, my dear, is not why you are making less money than men, because you're not, but it's why you should be making less money than men. And in fact, you shouldn't even have a fucking job, because women shouldn't be in the workplace. We have here a review of a movie. The movie is called The Miseducation of Cameron Post. Now, I'm not reading this entire thing. I don't need to. I haven't seen the movie. I don't intend to see the movie. Apparently, the movie is about someone named Cameron Post who is sent to, I don't know, some kind of Christian camp where they essentially try to talk him out of being a homosexual, pray away the gay, whatever the fuck it is, which, yeah, I don't care. Here's the relevant part. The film does an amazing job of using Cameron's journey through the camp to explore themes of self-hatred, manipulation, support systems, and the psychological toll of severe cognitive dissonance caused by these conversion camps. So they're taking this guy, he's homosexual, they're sending him to this camp, and while he is there, he experiences self-hatred, manipulation, support systems, and the psychological toll of severe cognitive dissonance. Does this sound like any other place that we send young people to? Colleges, perhaps? Because if you're a white man and you go to a college, well, what do you encounter? Self-hatred? Are you told about how you stole the land from Native American people and you're probably a rapist and women only make 82 cents for every dollar that you make and how you're guilty of all these problems and bad things and how all of this stuff is your fault? We got manipulation. If you're a white man and you go to college, do you think you get manipulated? Are people trying to manipulate you to get your money? Make you pay $5,700 to live in a basement? Which I'm sure they suck that money out of minorities also. I'm sorry, colored people. I'm sorry, persons of color. I can never keep up with what it is this week. Support systems, I'm not, you know, maybe destroying the support systems is probably what would be relevant here. I mean, if you're a homosexual and you go to a Pray Away the Gay summer camp, I would imagine the people running the camp will try to destroy any support system you have with other homosexuals. I mean, that would make sense from that twisted perspective. And look, I'm not pro-homosexual, we know that, but I'm also not like, I guess, okay, if you're Christians and you want to have a Pray Away the Gay camp, I mean, I guess you can. As long as you're not forcing people to go there against their will. I mean, if people voluntarily go there, then they voluntarily went there. I don't know why you would voluntarily go there. I'm sure they were pressured by their parents. I don't know any backstory on this. Cameron, maybe he was pressured to go to the Pray camp by his parents. Okay, kind of like so many young people are pressured to go to college by their parents and by their peers and by the high schools, right? By people like this dumb bitch I told you about earlier who is now a fucking guidance counselor at a high school even though she's dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sure people after peoples and peoples and more peoples have told these high school kids, you gotta go to college. You really have to go to college. And their parents pressure that if you don't go to college, I'm going to disown you. You know, all that horse shit. And you can see exactly the same thing with the fucking Pray Away the Gay camps. You can see some Christian parents telling their fucking homo kid, you're going to go to this camp and you're going to stop being gay or we're going to disown you. The parallel between... I am almost tempted to watch the movie just to see how much parallel there is between this Pray Away the Gay camp and college campuses. In fact, you know what? I'm going to put it on my list. I'm going to see if I can find the movie, if I can find it. That's what fast forwarding is for. If it sucks, I can stop watching it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find the movie. We're going to find out. Okay, so where were we? Support systems, same thing. You go to college, you're a white man, what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to destroy your support system. They're anti-fraternity, they're anti-sorority. They want you to be in groups that are diverse so that you're not associating with other white people. And the psychological toll of severe cognitive dissonance. Right, because there's no cognitive dissonance at college campuses. We're told there's no such thing as gender. And that sex is a social construct, right? There's no such thing as male or female. That's a social construct created by the patriarchy. But then we're told that this person over here who claims to be a tranny is a tranny because he, she, it was born with the body of a man but has the mind of a woman. Okay, but if you have the mind of a woman and you have it like when you're born, that means male and female is not a societal construct. That means it's a biological thing. Cognitive dissonance, anyone? All right, I will see what happens. I'll look for that movie. We'll see where it goes. Speaking of freakazoids. Pride Resource Center promotes diversity, inclusivity, with queer BQ. See, it's a queer BQ. It's not a barbecue. It's a queer BQ, which is odd because I thought most homosexuals would be vegans. Then again, they're probably barbecuing. I mean, queer BQing. Some kind of fake meat or whatever. I'm not reading the whole thing because it goes on for an entire half of a page with just stuff about, like, expressing their opinion, blah, blah, blah. Second year computer science major Michelle Hernandez said that events like this help people who might be exploring their identities or are not yet comfortable with expressing their identities can find comfort in speaking to others whom they can relate to. Oh, touchy-feely, feels so good. So it's just an article of all that. Here's the important part right at the beginning. Now heading into its 20th year at Colorado State University, the Pride Resource Center started the semester off strong. Okay, let's talk about support groups. Support groups from the previous piece, right? Hang on, I got to get something to write with. Support groups. Okay, let's talk about support groups. If you are a heterosexual white man and you go to college, how many support groups do you have? Well, the answer would be zero. Because you're a member of the patriarchy, you're a rapist, you force women to work for 82 cents for every dollar you work for, unless they're black women, and then they're only working for 56 cents or whatever it is. Right? And you did all of this stuff because you're white. I mean, you came to this continent in 1482, 92, whatever the fuck it was, and you killed all those Native Americans and you took their land away from them. And you probably ass raped them at the same time. That's probably how you killed them. You fucked them to death. That's how you killed those Native Americans. So if you're a white man who likes girls, how many support groups do you have at Colorado State University? The answer is zero. Let's count how many support groups mentally ill people have. Yes, I said mentally ill. Great one. Do you mean homosexual and lesbian and transgendered and gender neutral? And no, I mean mentally ill. Okay, I mean mentally ill. First rule of philosophy is to call things what they are. They are mentally ill. The vast majority of them have been abused as children. And the rest are just attention whoring. I'm sapiosexual. I'm pansexual. No, you're just attention whoring. Furthermore, there's a picture. You can't really see anything in the picture. I was going to make fun of how none of them are fuckable. But the picture is such you can't actually see anybody to make that judgment. Here we go. The Pride Resource Center is our first support group. Started the semester off strong with its annual community barbecue last week at City Park Reservation Shelter. Despite the stormy weather, the colloquial queer BQ was full of laughter, conversation, and food. The Pride Resource Center is one of seven student diversity programs and services that provide students with space and community to express or explore their identities, whether it be in regarding their gender or sexual orientation. So in addition to the Pride Resource Center, we have SDPS includes the Asian American Pacific Cultural Center, the Black African American Cultural Center. Now remember, these are places for people to express or explore their identities, whether it be regarding their gender or sexual orientation. This is important. I read that sentence poorly. Let me take a drink. I'm going to read that again. I want you to pay attention. These seven services, these seven programs, whatever we call them, okay, provides students with space and community to express or explore their identities, all right? So these organizations exist so that the students have a place to explore their identities. Well, what aspect of their identity, great one? Is it like, okay, so the Asian Pacific Islander, is it about exploring their identity as a Pacific Islander, their cultural heritage, you know, learning about the languages that were spoken on their island 300 years ago, is something like that? No, no, pay attention, guys, pay attention. I know you think I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Pay attention. Explore their identities, comma, whether it be regarding their gender or sexual orientation. Exploring their identity regarding gender or sexual orientation. It's nothing to do with their culture, their history, their people. So the point of the Asian American Pacific Cultural Center is to help people explore their identity regarding their gender or their sexual orientation. We have the Black/African American Cultural Center. We have the El Centuro. We have the Native American Cultural Center. We have resources for disabled students, because we got to help those disabled students explore whether or not they're panties or tries or bis or neutrals or whatever. And the Gender Advocacy Center. The QueerBQ featured several student organizations, because you see, that's not enough support groups for the freaks. I'm sorry, the mentally ill. White men, remember, heterosexual white men, zero support groups. We still on board with this? Everybody still, we still got zero. We all understand zero, right? Are we with it? Zero. We got this, right? Everyone's got this locked in your brain. Heterosexual white man on a college campus, zero support groups. So far, the LGBTKKK plus, the plus stands for pedophile, has seven support groups. But you see, that's not enough. We also have several student organizations. We have the Bi, Ace, Aero, Pan, Poly, Queer, and Questioning. We have the Queer Women Engaged in an Encompassing Nexus. I'm not making this up. Their, whatever you call it, is queen. Queen, my friends. Queer Women Engaged in an Encompassing Nexus. We have the Queer Connections. We have GIG. I don't know what that stands for. We have Colors. I don't know what that stands for. We have Austin, I don't know what that stands for. We have PRISM, it doesn't tell us what that stands for. And we have Graduate QTs. Representatives from each club spoke about their individual purpose and goals and welcomed newcomers into the inclusive space. That, my friends, is 15 organizations on CSU campus to help you figure out if you're a boy or a girl, because you can't figure it out on your own, because you're the future of America. You're the smartest generation ever. You have more sexually transmitted diseases than any other generation before you, but you still don't even know if you're a boy or a girl. 15 organizations focused on gender and sexuality, or whatever the fuck it said. I don't know. I don't care. Because we are moving on. Let us hearken back to this. Yes, this is still a thing. The little redheaded chick, Maddie Smith, if that was her name, who was all upset about the preacher in the plaza, right? We talked about, yes, you're going, great one. Is this really still a thing? Oh, yeah. Once again, guys, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me. You keep telling yourselves that college kids are the future and all, blah, blah, blah. These people are so obsessed with censorship. This is the most censorship-obsessed group of people ever. And this whole fantasy, and I used to believe this fantasy. I used to masturbate to this myself, okay? This fantasy that these kids are going to go to college and they're going to be in their safe spaces and all this other shit, and then they're going to go out into the real world. And in the real world, they're not going to find these safe spaces, and they're going to have to grow up and adapt and deal with the fact that not everybody gives a shit about coddling their feelings. I myself used to believe that bullshit. Okay, let me enlighten you. These fucking retards, they are emotionally, intellectually retarded. Okay? I'm not using retard as an insult. Like, I'm retarded. No, their development has been stunted. They are emotionally and intellectually retarded. They have not emotionally and intellectually matured. These emotionally and intellectually retarded people are going into the workplace, and they are bringing this with them. Look at all the shit from your HR departments about diversities and feels and sexual harassment and codes of conduct and all this other shit. This idea that they would leave the safe space of the university and get slapped in the face by reality and grow up. That's not happening. Letters to the editor. This is from Emily Myler. She's a senior in communication studies. I don't know what the fuck communication studies is. But she's a woman. And the prime directive has been violated. She has experienced discomfort. And by golly, we need censorship. Dear editor, I'm writing, but I actually haven't read, I've glanced at this, but this is mostly cold reading, just so you know. And I need a drink of water. Dear editor, I'm writing in response to the letter. Here's what you should know about campus free speech, published on September 19th. In this letter, Associated Students of Colorado State University President Tristan Sergin, who cares, rightly advocated for freedom of speech at our public university. However, see, here we go. Well, they rightly advocated for freedom of speech. Well, however, let's test this. Of course, the police should not simply shoot black people on sight for being black. However, Jews should not be put into concentration camps and gassed. However, right, so whenever you hear the word however, it's just like but. Everything in front of the word however was a lie. That is shit people say to try, right? Well, I'm not a racist. However, I really think black people should all be sent back to Africa. So you're just saying the I'm not a racist shit to try to to bullshit people, to soften, whatever, for whatever fucking reason. That's the difference between me and the rest of you fuckers out there. I don't do the shit that comes before, however. I don't have time for that shit. I'm old, I'm cranky, I'm pissed off, I want to fucking go trail running, I want to read a book, I want to drink a fucking martini, I want to do my podcast, I want to hang out with my fucking friends and make fun of fat people, okay? I got shit to do. I do not fucking have time for the goddamn however shit. I don't have to go, you know, I mean, I really like women and I respect them and I think everybody needs to be judged individually. However, women shouldn't be allowed to vote. No, women shouldn't be allowed to vote. I don't need all the shit before, however, to fucking avoid hurting your goddamn feelings or try to make it look like I care and I'm virtue signaling and all this other horse shit. Stop. Stop. Anytime, if you're fucking running your mouth and you hear yourself saying the word however, just fucking punch yourself in the face for being a pussy. Because everything you said before the word however is bullshit. And you know it. That's why you followed it with the word however. However, I feel that the incidents on the plaza in which preachers are allowed to stand on our stump and our stump. Oh, it's your stump, is it? If you're new, okay, the plaza at CSU, there's a stump. It's a tree stump. You stand on the tree stump. That's like the free speech soapbox kind of thing. It's a tradition. Our stump. See, here we go. Here's this woman. Well, it's our stump. Oh, really? Did you plant the tree? Did you water the tree? Did you cut the tree off so the stump was there? How is this your stump? This is not our stump, honey. This is not yours. Do you women understand? You don't. Here's another problem with white women in North America. White women in North America do not understand that there are things that don't belong to them. To a white woman from North America, the concept that there is anything on the planet Earth that's not her personal property, she had no fucking concept. She's like, well, of course that's mine. This is ours. No, 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 sweetie, that's not ours. It's not yours. Should stand on, be allowed to stand on our stump and berate students because of their identities, unless, of course, they're heterosexual white men, or Nazis, or Trump supporters, or conservatives, or Republicans, or Christians. See, those people, we can berate those people because of their identities. That's fine. But, oh, if someone's berating me because I can't figure out if I'm a boy or a girl, well, now I'm oppressed. Go beyond the protections of free speech and have become harassment. The preachers on the stump called my friends and I whores. You are whores. That's why you have more sexually transmitted diseases than any generation prior. You are whores. You are whores. First rule of philosophy, you call things what they are, you are a whore. And make comments on our bodies and clothes. Yes, we get to do that. People get to make comments about other people's bodies and clothing. We get to do that. As a straight white person, I'm sure, I cannot speak for my fellow students of color. Actually, you can. You're trying to do it right now. Or those in the LGBTQ, KKK+, the plus stands for pedophile community. But as a woman, I feel unsafe and intimidated by this hostility. Yes, friends, she feels unsafe. She's a white woman, and she feels unsafe because a preacher is talking and pointing out that she's a whore. And what is the prime directive, my friends? No white woman from North America must ever experience discomfort. And because she feels unsafe, well, this free speech needs to be curtailed. This shit needs to be shut down. We cannot have a white woman feeling unsafe. Last weekend, I sat down and completed an online sexual harassment course required by the university for my new position as the copy chief of the Collegian. If you're unfamiliar with this program, think of it like the course new students take on safe alcohol use. I didn't particularly want to spend an hour of my weekend learning about state and university policy, but I told myself I might need to know these things someday. I feel that day has come. Harassment is defined. We are now going to argue by defining words, one of my favorite things ever. Harassment is defined as conduct which is hostile towards a person or group based on an identity, including gender identity and expression. So in other words, when you're hostile towards a group, it's based on identity, such as, for example, when you're hostile towards heterosexual white men or people who identify as Trump supporters, people identify as Christians. See, that's harassment, sweetie. That's harassment. We'll finish this later. There's a lot punch more. We'll be back. I guess now we got to do another episode of the College Kid Cast, as if you were in doubt that there would be another. You know how many episodes? Oh, God, I could do this podcast forever. As long as I have college kids, I will never run out of material.